ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः ध्यानयोगो नाम षष्ठोऽध्यायः अनाश्रितः कर्मफलम् कार्यितः कर्मफलम् कार्यं कर्म करोति यः कर्म करोति यः स संन्यासी च योगी च न निरग्निर्न चाक्रियः यं संन्यासमिति प्राहुः समिति प्राहुः योगं तं विद्धि पाण्डव न ह्य संन्यस्त संकल्पो योगी भवति कश्चन आरुरुक्षोर्मुनेर्योगम् कर्मकारणमुच्यते योगारोढस्य तस्यैव शमः कारणमुच्यते यदा हिनेन्द्रियार्थेषु न कर्म स्वनुषज्जते सर्वसंकल्पसंन्यासी योगारूढस्तदोच्यते उद्धरेदात्मनात्मानम् नात्मानमवसादयेत् आत्मैव ह्यात्मनो बन्धुः आत्मैव रिपुरात्मनः भगवान् कृष्ण इंट्रोड्यूसेस दि बहिरंग साधनम अ जनरल प्रिपरेटरी डिसिप्लिन विच हैज टू बी फॉलोड इन डे टू डे लाइफ ऑलवेज एंड मेनली वॉट इज दैट विच हैज टू बी मेंटेन्ड केयरफुली कॉन्शियसली cautiously is the mental equanimity, the mental balance. One has to take care of one's mental equipoise, which means without reacting to the situations thoughtlessly, mechanically. One has to learn to respond thoughtfully, carefully, so that one can manage one's emotions, one can avoid unnecessary even entertainment of emotions, which can happen in our transactions, especially anger and irritability, anger, hatred. These things have to be really carefully handled. And to have that samatvam, Krishna, even though already has discussed in other chapters, he emphasized karma yoga as the only way. Karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga, is the only way that we can have that samatvam, which is an important prerequisite qualification for meditation or even contemplation. Then he praised karma yogi, and he repeated saying, who is a karma yogi? So asanyasta sankalpaha yogi na bhavati. Krishna makes it very clear, one who has not renounced his worry or concern about the future, or concern about future implies even the fruits of actions, definitely cannot be a karma yogi. So asanyasta sankalpaha yogi na bhavati. So asanyasta sankalpaha eva yogi bhavati. So sanyasta sankalpaha implies a karma yogi performs his duties, but whatever he performs expecting the result for the results, but he performs, all that he performs becomes offered to Bhagavan because of his commitment to the pursuit of knowledge and because of his ultimate end being jnanam and moksha. And because of his commitment to dharma also, his all his desires are well managed. How does a karma yogi manage his desires? Because he manages his desires, desires do arise. He does fulfill his desires, but his likes and desires, dislikes. Desires in the form of likes and dislikes are managed by him, because his actions are not, all his actions are not dictated by his likes and dislikes. Personal whims and fancies, all his actions are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. The will is involved there. Therefore, his commitment to dharma also helps him manage his desires. And also, his prasada buddhi, in looking at everything as prasada, helps him manage his situations, manage his emotions, so that, he doesn't allow himself to be brooded over the past or worry about the future. Therefore, because of that, he is aware, his mind, his intellect, his attention is available for the present action. Therefore, he can be efficient also in his contributions, in his endeavors, in his actions. Therefore, Krishna also praised a yogi who is a karma yogi. He made very clear. Later on, he said in the fourth verse, karma yoga itself is not an end. Karma, without living a life of karma yoga, attainment of knowledge is impossible. Why? Because the preparedness required on the part of the mind for knowledge is impossible unless a person lives a life of karma yoga. But karma yoga itself is not an ultimate end of a human life. Why? Because karma yoga can only contribute for the mental purity required for knowledge. Karma yoga cannot remove the ignorance. Therefore, attainment cannot contribute for the attainment of knowledge. Therefore, definitely, living a life of karma yoga, when it results in the preparedness of the mind, it has to be followed by the jnana yoga in terms of shastra, study, shravanam, mananam, and nididhyasanam, which is the actual Vedantic meditation, which has to follow the shravanam mananam, which alone will result in the knowledge, which is mokshaha. Therefore, similarly, without living a life of karma yoga also, it is not possible for one to become qualified for the nididhyasanam. Even if a person studies, shravanam one does also, one understands also, one can have jnanam, one can even resolve one's doubts, but still the ascertainment of this knowledge is dependent on nididhyasanam, constant, continuous dwelling upon the fact one has understood through shravanam and mananam, for which he mind must be available, mind must be qualified. Therefore, karma yoga is important. Therefore, karma yoga, one has to enter into the life of karma yoga, live a life of karma yoga, get oneself adequately qualified in terms of mental preparedness, in terms of mental purity and steadiness, antakarana shuddhi and antakarana naishchalyam. One can develop, one's learn this art of being equanimous in all situations, and also one can discover dispassion. The most important qualification is what? The dispassion always very important. So the samatvam and also vairagyam. Isn't the samatvam first he develops, the vairagyam also which he discovers, living a life of karma yoga, managing his desires, managing his emotions, when he lives his life, and that also helps him discover dispassion. And it is this vairagyam which is very much, vairagyam will also help him remain mentally calm. The mind becomes, the more and more one discovers dispassion, the more one can remain calmer. One can remain calm and tranquil. Therefore, he becomes qualified for knowledge. Then, therefore, enter into karma yoga, live a life of karma yoga, and become qualified, equipped oneself for knowledge, and enter into jnana yoga. Then meditate upon the fact one has understood through shravanam and mananam, attain jnanam, discover freedom, or one can take ownership of the freedom which is already there. That was emphasized. Again, in the last, yesterday what we saw, the whole hour I spent on this one verse. Uddhared Atmanatmanam. Here especially yesterday I said this. There are two factors determine our future. It is not just the fate or destiny which determines our future. It is not just the free will which determines our future. It's very difficult for many people to accept free will. Really speaking, these two factors, destiny and free will, both contribute for, both play a role in determining our future. So, I said yesterday, which of the two is powerful if you ask? Can destiny be victorious over free will? Or can free will be victorious over destiny if you ask? It is difficult to give an answer to this question. Why? Because when they operate together, actually the strength, when they come together, the strength varies. Relative strength varies because we have, the fate is of three types, I said. In keeping with the fate or destiny is dependent on the intensity of the karma phalam. The karma phalam depends upon the intensity of the karma we do. Therefore, in keeping with the intensity of karma, in keeping with the intensity of karma phalam, the destiny also is of three types. I said, prabala prarabdham, Abala Prarabdham or Durbala Prarabdham, then Madhyama Prarabdham in between. So here, the free will, in when something we are going through the Prabala Prarabdham, the free will cannot do anything. I said yesterday, all that the free will can do is help us pray intensely, fervently, seek Bhagavan's grace to bless us with all the strength to manage the unchangeable situation, to accept gracefully the situation and overcome the situation. And the Prarabdha is Madhyama Prarabdha, then the free will can really, free will cannot undo the Madhyama Prarabdha, but still it doesn't, cannot stop the Prarabdha from coming, it doesn't allow the Prarabdha to afflict us also. In the sense, the Madhyama Prarabdham can be managed. The free will is strong enough to help us manage the Madhyama Prarabdha Palam. Suppose if the Abalam or Durbala Prarabdham, then free will can really help us avoid or eliminate or change the Prarabdham in the form of performance of Prayaschitta Karmas. That is how, as I said one thing, when a patient goes to the doctor cannot say whether the disease is curable, because he can say whether it's curable or manageable or incurable only after diagnosing the type of disease. There are diseases which are curable immediately. There are diseases which can be managed, like diabetes and cholesterol, but the diseases which are incurable. Like that, here also, Prarabdham also is like that. Anyway, all the problems one can resolve only in Jnanam. That is why we say, Jnanam is the only sadhanam. Because all that we are searching for is absolute peace and everlasting happiness, and which cannot be attained, which is already there as one's own swarupam. That is why it needs to be discovered. Even the mumukshutvam, one has to really question, am I a serious mumukshu? Am I a serious jignasu? How serious I am? How much have I understood the value of knowledge? If I have seriously understood the value of knowledge, am I committed enough to study the Shastram? Isn't it? Because Shastram repeatedly says from day one, from introduction onwards, one thing, when the Shastram introduces, when a person understands Purushartha, this is the Purushartha, this is the ultimate goal I need to accomplish, when you understand itself, you are very clear, moksha is a choiceless end. You understand the very context, the importance of knowledge, then how committed I am, isn't it? Therefore, again, the Shastra study alone will help us, understand these things better, to manage them. We understand all these things. Anyway, so next thing, the verse he says is, see, our physical body, a physical personality, then our physiological personality, intellectual personality, emotional personality, all these personalities, a set of, the personalities, in fact, serve as instruments, isn't it? An abode of enjoyment and instruments of enjoyment given to us as a gift from the Lord. We have got them as gift from the Bhagwan. So here, all these instruments meant for enjoyment, if they are properly used, there is the two ways of using the instruments given to you. Proper use or inappropriate use. Appropriately used, they become refined. They become refined and refined. They're abused are inappropriately used, then they will lead our lives to ruin. In fact, we want to be ruined, destroyed, or we want to be, you know, make this life meaningless, utterly waste, or we want to make it a meaningful, successful life. Krishna says very clearly, you are blessed with all the everything. You are different from animal. Animals are programmed. There is no free will for the animals. Therefore, there is no faculty of choice. They're all programmed. Therefore, they don't have punyam and papam. They don't have knowledge of right and wrong. This is right on mid roadside. I've not dirty the road. The dog does not know. Then nobody can file a case against the dog also. Isn't it? That is why people in this, when they go for the park, no, they have to carry all, you know, we have to keep separate bins for dog, maintaining dog's dirt also. Now, why I'm saying here, they are programmed. But here, we human beings are blessed with the extra. The special thing is what? The free will. And because of free will, we are blessed with what? The knowledge of right and wrong. Therefore, we attract punyam and papam. So here, when you use these instruments, the physical body is involved in physical activities, and the physical body does not do something on its own mechanically. All the physical activities are expressions of your mental, the desires rising in him of thoughts in your mind. Therefore, the desires have to be managed for the physical body to be involved in right, appropriate actions. Similarly, it means the mind has to be, you know, that's why, do we make the appropriate use of the mind? If we make the appropriate use of mind, if we understand our emotions, if we manage our emotions, then we have mastery over our mind. Similarly, our intellect also, we are making use of the intellect, we should have clarity. How can you use the intellect? We should have the clarity. What is this life all about? What am I living this life for? What am I going to accomplish really ultimately? The buddhi, we should find out. People do not even know what Vedanta is. Sometimes, I'm not saying they should know. Everybody should know. I'm not saying that. But people do not know. What Vedanta is, they do not know. What Veda is, do not know. No? And people do not know that there is something called moksha. What moksha is, they do not understand. And if at all they know, they will say, oh, moksha, it is for some people, old people who are on the deathbed, you know, lying in or somewhere sick in the hospitals. They have to think of moksha, not energetic young people like us. Even Bhagavad Gita classes, we have to go. People do not even know the connection between Shastram. What are we studying Bhagavad Gita for? What are we studying the Vedanta Shastram for? We don't understand the connection. Therefore, people do not know, which means the intellect also must have the clarity of purpose, isn't it? What am I living this life for? How I should live my life? What is right? What is wrong? Why I should not go against dharma? Why I should live a life of dharma? The intellect must have the clarity, the value of value. There must be knowledge of value of values. If we do not know, at least but through study, shastra study, we understand. These are clarity. So the intellect must be used. Similarly, when the intellect is appropriately used, then intellect becomes what? Becomes refined intellect. Mind is also managed, thoughts are, emotions are managed, mind becomes appropriate use of mind means what? Then mind becomes refined. Isn't it? Similarly, all our organs, all our instruments must be used appropriately. Mainly, main thing emphasized is living a life of dharma, living a life of values, very, very important. Morality in ethical life is very, very important. That's the only by making the appropriate use of body, mind, sense complex. The body, mind, the mind and sense complex can be, these instruments can be refined. Only when they become refined, become subtle, then attainment of any end is possible. Attainment of accomplish artha, kama, dharma, moksha. There is no fifth pursuit. All that a human being wants to accomplish comes under the category of these four only. For accomplishing any end, Krishna says, if they are appropriately used, they are not abused or misused, then definitely any end can be accomplished. Similarly, jnanam also is accomplishable only if we make use of, appropriate use of them. Isn't it? That's why he says, Atmana atmanam uddharet. May one uplift oneself by oneself means by managing without becoming a slave of the mind, slave of the body. Body may ask a lot of things. Mind may ask a lot of things. Intellect may ask other things. But what we should give, how much we should give, and how, is it, how we do not become slave of the body. Once the more and more we feed them whatever they want, then we'll get into trouble. Sometimes we do not know whether to, we can't give it up, nor can we fulfill its desires. That is the problem. It's typically like alcoholics. Now what happens? Now the withdrawal symptoms also they have sometimes. If they stop the alcohol, they'll start shivering, a lot of problems. And they can't continue to drink also, because it causes another problems. You know, big problem. Like that, any addiction, it is very dangerous. Similarly here also, whatever the body needs, whatever the mind needs, whatever the senses need, how much should be, you know, they should be taken care of, which means we do not become their slaves. They should be our slaves. We should have mastery over them. And mastery over mind, in fact, having mastery over one's own mind implies having mastery over one's emotions and all the thoughts. Having mastery over one's mind implies what? Having mastery over one's own body, mind, sense complex. And then twofold, we say, absolute mastery is only in jnanam, which is freedom from emotional dependence. Total freedom from emotional dependencies, freedom from mind, that is only in jnanam. But until then, by living a life of karma yoga, one can have relative mastery. Not absolute mastery, relative mastery. But one has to have mastery over one's mind relatively in order to discover the absolute mastery. And one who has mastered his mind is said to be what now? The conqueror of his mind. He is the conqueror of the world, really speaking. Shastram says, therefore, here in this verse, Krishna says, as they spend a lot of time on this verse, but still I am telling you today, Uddhared Atmana Atmanam Na Atmanam Avasadayet. If we do not take care of, these mind, body, mind's complex, then what happens? Definitely, they will enslave us. Once we become enslaved, then there's no way of accomplishing any end. Definitely not jnanam or moksha. No? Therefore, may you not really allow yourself to be ruined. Avasadayet. Atmaiva Atmano Bandhu Atmaiva Ripuhu Atmanaha. If they are managed, Atma here implies the entire body, mind and complex, managed appropriately will contribute for your absolute end, contribute for mental preparedness, contribute for attainment of knowledge, contribute for accomplishment of moksha. Then when it does favor to you, it is like a friend. Then becomes, now it prevents you from accomplishing the end, becomes a big obstacle for the accomplishing the end, it is as good as your enemy if they are not managed. Okay, therefore this verse specifically says, Lee first of all learned to manage, understand what is the managing, what we mean by saying managing, having mastery over your body, mind, sense complex. Please understand that, attain, have that, then alone you can accomplish the knowledge. Don't go for straight for meditation. Meditation is impossible for the one who does not have, even simple, one cannot even manage one's thoughts. That's the question of meditating and understanding the truth. That's why I heard once somebody is asking, one person went to one Mahatma, and he was asking him, and he sat in front of him like this, and he was moving his leg like this. Oh, okay, what is Jnanam? He asked like this. What is Jnanam? He was asking. That Mahatma saw, and he saw him like this. What is that? Yeah, what? Is it moving? He asked. Yes, it's moving. And then why is it moving? He said, no, I don't know. I'm just asking. I didn't notice it. You do not even know why your thigh is moving. You are even not even conscious that your thigh is moving. Isn't it? You are not. Don't even know why it is moving. You should know. You must be conscious of what's happening. Mechanic people talk now. Mechanically, we're talking something, but they can't keep quiet. Rolling this keychain like this. Which means there's no dhamma. There's no shama. Isn't it? Therefore, they're all very basic disciplines. Please understand the importance of, following disciplines and becoming disciplined. It is very important. Whether we like it or not, following disciplines will be a joy if we know the value of disciplines and try to follow the disciplines, try to become disciplined. Without knowing the value of disciplines, if you're asked to follow disciplines, it's such a big burden. You feel so imposed, and then you feel so, really it is boring. That's why Krishna says, understand the value in the context of moksha you want, jnanam you want, you want to be prepared. Best thing is what? Learn disciplines, live disciplines, become disciplined. Okay, manage them. That is the teaching of the previous verse. Now we will go to the next verse. We continue saying,
Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajitah anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajitah anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat.
So here again, in this verse also, the word atma means body, mind, sense complex, integrated, karya karana sanghataha. What he says, bandhu atma, Atmanaha, Atma Bandhu Tasya. For that person alone, one's own instruments, the abode of enjoyment, the physical body, the instruments of enjoyment, the sense organs, and mainly the mind, isn't it? The mind as Antakarana as a whole, all that becomes Bandhu, becomes a friend. For whom? He says, yena atma eva atmana jitaha. The one by whom it has been won over. If won over means what? The one by whom it has been won over means the one who has mastery over his body, mind, sense complex. For him, the body, mind, complex is a friend. Is like a friend, which means what? Definitely the managed, refined, well looked after, properly used, isn't it? The body, mind, complex will help him become qualified for knowledge, will make him a qualified person for knowledge, will help him attain jnanam, will help him discover moksha. Therefore, it will do favor for him. Therefore, this body, mind, complex will be a friend for the one who has mastery over. It means a managed mind, body, mind, complex. Yena jitaha, the one by whom it has been won over. One who is victorious over his body, mind, complex. Mastery. Isn't it? Which means one who can manage his desires, likes and dislikes, especially ragadveshas, especially his emotions. One who can manage them very well, and he can manage one who can manage them well, and for him it serves as a friend, serves like a friend. If it is not managed well, it will enslave him. Then once the body, mind, sense complex enslaves you, then it is like an enemy for you, because it is impossible for you will become grosser and grosser and grosser. The more you are given to the bodily pleasures, the more you are given to your emotional, allow your your actions are governed by your likes and dislikes, not by your knowledge of right and wrong. Then the more you go against dharma, the more and more you are towards the other artha kamas, then naturally the grosser and grosser you will be. There's no way of becoming prepared for knowledge, leave alone knowledge. Even becoming qualified for knowledge is not possible. And where is the question of attaining knowledge and moksha? Therefore, the unmanaged body, mind, and complex is like your enemy. Who is your enemy? Don't look for enemies outside. Your own mind, your own emotions, your own thoughts, your own desires, your own unclear, doubtful, confused intellect will be what? No, your enemy. Isn't it? Therefore, the mind governed by emotions, with wrong attitude, wrong emotions, improper thinking, we also what now? Will be your enemy. Isn't it? Therefore, it will become your enemy. There's no enemy outside, there's no friend outside. If your mind is managed, your mind is your friend. If your mind is not managed, mind is your enemy. If your mind is your enemy, it will convert the whole world into what? Your enemy. If your mind is managed, your friend, the whole world will be your friend. Understand? There is one Sanskrit verse. Ashayahaye dasaha te dasa sarvalokasya ashayesham dasi te sham dasayate lokaha. The one, for whom desire is, the one who is a slave of a desire, he'll be a slave of the entire world. The one desire is to whom desire is a slave, the whole world will be a slave to him. Anyway, it's something different I wanted to say, tell you just in this context. Therefore, atmanastu anatmanastu shatrutve. Anatmanaha, the word next word, see the next word, anatmanaha means ajitatmanaha. Ajitatmanaha means the anat. Please understand, the word anatma in that context means the one who has not managed his instruments in terms of body, mind, sense complex. Anatmanaha is equal to for the one who has not managed his body, mind, sense complex. For him, you know, his own body, mind, sense complex is as good as an enemy. That is the meaning there. So here, the Atma, Anatma does not mean the actual Atma in these verses. Okay. Next.
Jitatmanav prashantasya. Jitatmanav prashantasya. Paramatma samahitaha. Paramatma samahitaha. Shitoshna sukha dukkheshu. Shitoshna sukha dukkheshu. Tatha manapamanayo. Manapamanayo. Jitatmanav prashantasya.
Jitatmanav
prashantasya. Paramatma samahitaha. Paramatma samahitaha. Shitoshna sukha dukkheshu.
Shitoshna
sukha dukkheshu. Tatha manapamanayo.
Manapamanayo.
So, jitatmanaha. What does the person who has mastery over his mind, who has relative mastery over his mind, attain? What does the person who has relative mastery over his mind attain? What does he gain? What is the benefit of managing one's body, mind, sense complex? What is the benefit of managing one's mind? Which means mental qualification in terms of antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam. What does it bless one with? He says, jitatma. Jitatma means the one who has, you know, conquered his mind. As is told already, the conquered his mind means not absolutely. The absolute conqueror of his mind is absolute conqueror of the world, and he is a jnani, mahat, wise person. One who has understood the oneness of the truth, one who has understood the non-duality of the reality, one who has resolved his individuality in totality, one who sees all that is only Paramatma, Brahma, no second thing, such a person is the one who has absolutely conquered his mind, absolute conqueror of his mind, absolute conqueror of the whole. He is different, but here, jitatma also means what? The one who has conquered his mind relatively. Jitaha atma yena yasya. The one who has conquered his mind, the one who has managed his mind intelligently, prudently, carefully. How has he got it? By living a life of karma yoga. How karma yogi is a sannyasi, a real karma yogi is a yogi meditator, a real karma yogi is the one who does not crave for future, one who has no concern for fruits of actions or actions, the one who does not worry about, one who is not at all anxious about the future, and one who's, such a person is a karma yogi. By living a life of karma yoga, who consciously, carefully manages his desires all the time, thereby one who has entertained the samatvam all the time, samatvam, such a person, in due course of time, because what now? Has perfect, He has relative mastery over his mind, which means jitatma. The one who has lived a life of karma yoga, by living a life of karma yoga, entertaining the samatvam, having learned the art of retaining his mental equipoise, this person, having been the master of his mind, having had mastery over his mind, is now prashantaha. Because he has mastery over his emotions and thought desires, he has managed his desires and also emotions, ragadveshas. What happens now? He is calm-minded, relatively tranquil-minded, prashantaha. Listen, prashanta means his mind is no more, he doesn't have any more mental turmoil, doesn't have any mental turbulence. His mind is calm, tranquil, quiet mind, relatively tranquil-minded. Again, I had to understand, a wise person is absolutely tranquil-minded, serene-minded, absolute conqueror. A karma yogi, having lived a life of karma yoga, he becomes relative conqueror, relatively tranquil-minded, prashantaha, which means his mind is not free from this restlessness, agitations and turbulence. Calm-minded, isn't it? Therefore, it's all the understanding of the fact. All that I seek ultimately through all my accomplishments is only absolute peace and happiness. What is it we want? We really speak, we do so many things. Through all that slogging and difficult things, what we are ultimately seeking is we want to be peaceful and happy. To be frank, our ultimate goal is, aim is that. And once Shastra makes it very clear, what you ultimately seek is not available anywhere. How much ever you jump and upside down stand and do any Shirasasana, any asana also, you won't get it. It is not attainable, gainable. It is already there as your own swarupam. It needs to be discovered. I don't need to go anywhere to discover what you are seeking choicelessly. Is all that you need is, you need a turbulence-free mind. And Shastra's teaching will help you, see that swarupam. Therefore, all that you need is, you need to work for really making this mind qualified for jnanam. Isn't that's why we say, any naivedyam we do offer to Bhagavan, we always clean food only, but still we chant Gayatri mantra, then sanctify the water, then you sprinkle that water on the prasadam, then you offer it. No, why? You sanctify the food before you offer it. The idea is, even the food has to be sanctified because you're going to offer it to Bhagavan. Here, you want to resolve your identity with Bhagavan, the whole, the individuality in totality, which means you have to offer yourself to Bhagavan, means you must be how? Offerable, isn't it? You must be mentally pure. The pure mind alone can be offered to Bhagavan, not the impure, dirty, the mind with the jealousy, hatred, anger, and all sorts of, the passion and craving for so many things. I want to offer this mind. I mean, that mind is not offerable to Bhagavan. It can't be offered. It has to be cleansed, isn't it? Offering one's mind to Bhagavan means what? Offering oneself to Bhagavan means resolving one's identity with Paramatma, the whole. Cognitively we have to resolve our identity. Therefore, here mind has to become, that's what Shastram says, the mind has to become clear, clean. The refined mind, isn't it? The self-attunement, the self, is very important. Not only that, all the organs must be healthy, all the organs must be clean, healthy means they must be used properly, they must be refined, and they must be integrated also. They must be coordinated, isn't it? Mind says one thing, buddhi says one thing, mind says another thing. Buddhi, intellect decides, let us study Gita home study. Let us join the Gita home study on at least on Zoom, even if I not go in person. The mind says, come on, one day don't log in, you know, because you sit and watch some other channel, television channel. The mind says, so there is no coordination between mind and intellect. There is no coordination between in the body, isn't it? Which means all of them must be healthy, all of them must be refined, and they must be integrated. Therefore, here the karma yoga, only by living a life of karma yoga, one can have integrated personality. Isn't it? This here prashantaha, prashantihi is possible, the relative peace is possible, tranquility is possible only if there is integration of these instruments, all these organs. Therefore, live by the one who has lived the life of karma yoga, one has managed his desires and emotions, and such a person who is also integrated personality, you know, such a person, for him the mind is what now? Relatively, you know, calm-minded. Such a person, when he listens to the Vedanta Shastram, I have to add here. Okay, he lived a life of karma yoga, he has become mentally pure and steady, he is prashantaha, he is steady, turbulence-free, serene-minded prashantaha. What about the other word here, jitatma? He has managed his emotions very well. Jitatma and prashantaha, that is fine. Then, what happened for him is enough? Then when he studies Vedanta Shastram, I tell you, the Shastram not only will appeal to him, the teaching will become very clear for him. The unfoldment of any Mahavakyam will give him the vision. The Shastra's vision will become his vision very soon. For whom? Prashantasya Jitatmanaha. Ask these two questions. Why I have been studying Paramatma Samahitaha means the absolute self, the ultimate truth, isn't it? The truth in the form of consciousness will become evident to him. Paramatma Samahitaha. Paramatma, the absolute reality will become evident to him. For whom? For the one who studies Vedanta Shastram. Who is the one who studies Vedanta Shastram? Prashantaha Jitatma. Jitatma, one must be a Jitatma, one must be a Prashantaha. Two words imply what? Jitatma implies antakarna shuddhi, the one who has mastery over his thoughts, emotions. Thereby, one who has samatta buddhi, one who has, one who is relatively pure-minded. And then, prashantaha, one whose mind is tranquil, no more turbulent. But such a person sits for him, Paramatma, the teaching teaching works very well for him, truth becomes evident. So it's a benefit of, being qualified. What here it says, in between, Shastra study is very, very important. Shravanam itself will do for such a person. Otherwise, manam, the nididhyasanam also, outward one can get this vision, definitely. Which means, he will not be deprived of the vision. Definitely, paramatma samahitaha means, the absolute reality becomes revealed to him, becomes evident to him. Suppose if the person is not prepared, not adequately mentally pure, still disturbed, highly disturbed, emotionally disturbed, you know, disturbed by his own emotions. Therefore, disturbed by emotions means he is agitated minded, you know, very gross minded means Vedanta will not appeal to such a person. And if Vedanta appeals also, still it will take time for him to have the vision. What Shastram says is, Shastra study without fail help you have the vision. Paramatma will become evident if when you study Shastram with qualification. Minus qualification, Shastra study, you know, cannot help you have the vision. But with the qualification, without Shastra study, no jnanam. That's what is said in the first line. Jitatma, you have to remember these two important. Jitatma prashantaha. Jitatmanaha prashantasya. One who has, you know, managed his emotions, mastery over his instruments, thereby one who is mentally relatively tranquil, for such a person, when he studies Shastram, the Shastra teaching helps him that the truth becomes evident. Now here, I have to stop and teach an important lesson. Truth becomes evident means, does Vedanta Shastram bring any experience to him, make him experience the reality, or something make, does Vedanta Shastram, you know, make something flash for him? No. Vedanta Shastra study does not bring something newly and show to this qualified person. Okay, this jitatma, this prashantaha, this tranquil minded, you know, pure minded person, when he had his shastram, shastram does not bring anything new. It only helps him, you know, it only draws his attention from the anatma to atma, which means like what? What is anatma? What is atma here? What is the non-self and what is the self here? Because Shastram says there is no time we are not experiencing Paramatma. In fact, we are in all our experiences, we are experiencing Paramatma. Look at this. There is no fraction of second you are not experiencing Paramatma. Which means you are already all the time in all your experiences, you are experiencing Paramatma. But still you do not know what Paramatma is. Understand? Because for you to see the fact of you are already experiencing Paramatma in all your experiences, you know, you need such a mind. So when you live this disciplined life, you have that mind, then Shastra study helps you. It's like what? Because you never miss in every experience. There is Paramatma. Pratibodha viditam matam means it's like, you know, to see any one given object, any opaque thing here. Where is the tree? Oh, it's in the garden. Means from here to see the tree through the window, I had to turn my head towards the window and see through the window. Oh, there is an effort of turning my head and seeing through the window is required to see the tree that side. Oh, where is doctor? He is not sitting there. Where is he? and he's sitting at the back. There's no place here, so he's sitting at the back means I had to really turn my head to see, oh, he's there. Isn't it? Whereas, for me, where is the light? To see the light, do I need to make any effort? I not make any effort. Why? Whether I see in the front, see in the back, see in this side or that side, I see whichever object I see here, every object, everybody, whomever I want to see, whatever I want to see, everything I have to see where? Shining only in the light. Isn't it? So when I experience this sofa, chair, I experience the light. I never experience the opaque thing separately. Experience of opaque thing is experience of the light. And from this, I can move on to another object. I experience the radiator there. And I experience the radiator. The same light I experience along with the radiator. The same light I experience along with this mic. The same light I experience along with this book. In experiencing every opaque thing. The opaque things vary. Opaque things are different. They change. But in all these changing, different, variable, opaque things, what I invariably, unchangeably, what I experience is the light. Similarly here, in all our experiences we have in our minds, the whole world we are experiencing where? The whole waking, what big waking universe? This waking universe is as good as non-existent without your mind. You know that? If our thoughts are not there, the world is not there. The whole world is in your mind, in the thoughts, of thoughts. So, we perceive all the objects we are experiencing. No, what is an experience? There is every, like how the experience of this opaque mic involves two factors, two things. Experience of mic is actually experience of light plus mic. Experience of the wall is experience of light plus wall. Isn't it? It's not just the wall. What are all you are seeing here? If I ask, you may say, we see Dr. Ma, we see Devi Ma, we see Mita, we see Rodney Ji, we see all of them. We'll tell what all we are seeing here. You may not say, we see light. We won't think of saying that we are experiencing light here because we don't even consider the light. Really speaking, that one thing without which nothing can be seen here is light. Isn't it? Similarly here, how experience of this mic is nothing but experience of what is inseparably, unavoidably, choicelessly, what has to be experienced is the light. Understand? And you don't see the light, and I have to tell you what? Come on. You only say, what are you seeing in front of me? If I ask you the question, you say, we in front of you, we see the camera, we see the mic, we see the book, we see the table, we see people sitting in front of you. But you do not say that this light. Light, of course, not in front of me, is it? What is there in this room? One thing you do not mention is light. What I do, and then I slowly, when I tell this to you, come on, you have missed an important thing without which no opaque thing would have been seen. That is light. When I say that, I bring your attention. I am not creating light here. I am not bringing new light here. Okay? This light is already evident. Isn't it true? Already you are experiencing this light. All that I am doing here is, I am drawing your attention, I am taking your attention from the opaque to light. without removing the opaque, without undoing anything, changing anything, I am bringing your attention to light. I am taking your attention from opaque mic to light. Is it clear? Similarly, what Vedanta does is, come on, when you understand the Paramatma, the pure consciousness, without which you cannot be conscious of anything. Every experience implies what? You are conscious of, you are being conscious of a given object. Therefore, for such a person, Paramatma becomes evident means Vedanta Shastram, you know, helps him shift his attention from the inert thought to consciousness. What are all we are experiencing? Don't need to go anywhere. All these experiences, Shitoshna Sukha Dukkesho Tatha Manapamanayoho. This Shita, experience of cold. Is it? What is experience of cold is what? There is a thought. Experience, isn't it? There is cold, you can say. If there is no experience, is what? In the form of a thought. You remove experience of cold means consciousness plus thought is cold experience, isn't it? Ushnam, experience of heat, is what? Consciousness plus thought. Heat thought, cold thought, isn't it? Whatever object you are experiencing, you have that thought plus consciousness. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha. Okay, experience of pain. Pain. What is experience? Pain experience, consciousness plus thought. What is pleasure? Consciousness plus thought. Pleasure is the thought, pain is the thought, cold is the thought. Cold is, understand now? Cold, heat, they're all, any experience of any external object is in the form of thought in the mind. Then mana, honor. You feel, you know, elated when you're honored. This experience of honor, being honored by somebody, isn't it? There's also what? What is, where is honor sitting? Where is honor? It's all your thought. Thought plus consciousness. Where is apamanam? Where is dishonor? Experience of dishonor in the form of thought. Therefore, when you experience this, in experience of honor, in experience of dishonor, in experience of cold, in experience of heat, in experience of pain or pleasure, in all these experiences, thoughts keep changing. Experiences change, thoughts change, but what is changelessly there, making the experience possible just by its presence, is consciousness. Okay? That is Paramatma. It is Vedanta Shastra study can help one shift one's attention from the thought to consciousness. Only if the mind is relatively tranquil, if the mind is relatively pure and free from the hold of emotions. Therefore, for this person, Paramatma becomes evident in all the experiences. Understand now? Shitoshna Sukha Dukkhe, he says actually, Shitoshna Sukha Dukkhesho Tatha Manapamanayoho, which means in all these experiences of varieties of paths of opposites, for him there is Paramatma becomes evident. Does not see that absolute reality being invariably present, unchanging, unchangeable consciousness present in all the variable changing thoughts. Doesn't see it. What is that? Consciousness, isn't it? He sees. Paramatma becomes evident. The absolute reality, the ultimate truth being consciousness, you know, which is distinct from the thought, but not distant from the thought. He can see very clearly, not as an object, is it? But as very swarupam. He becomes very clear for him. This is the benefit of being qualified. Jitatmanaha prashantasya shita ushna sukha dukha mana apamanayoho paramatma becomes evident. Has the shastram brought a new thing to him? Unarvai shastram totruvikkala. Irikkinra unarvai kaattukirathu. So the consciousness which is already there, evident in all the experiences. Only thing is which is there, but attention was totally in the experience, the form of a thought, but not in consciousness. Like how when I asked you what is there in front of me, you all say just the mic. You know, it's not that you are not experiencing consciousness. It's that light in front of me. You're experiencing the light, but you could not say that because your attention was only on the mic. All that you need to is the attention has to be taken from the opaque thing to the light. Similarly, Shastram only takes your attention from the experience in the form of a thought to the awareness, the consciousness. It is possible for whom? Prashantasya jitatmanaha. Understand? Slowly develops. Okay. Becomes Paramatma, becomes evident. Next verse. Jnana vijnana triptatma. Jnana vijnana triptatma. Kotastho vijitendriyah, kotastho vijitendriyah, yukta ityuchyate yogi, ityuchyate yogi, samaloshtashmakanchanah, samaloshtashmakanchanah, jnana vijnana triptatma, natriptatma kotastho vijitendriyah, kotastho vijitendriyah, yukta ityuchyate yogi, yukta ityuchyate yogi, samaloshtashmakanchanah, samaloshtashmakanchanah. Okay, here this person who has mastery over his instruments of enjoyment, especially the mind, has this, you know, vision of the truth, which means for him, as a tranquil-minded person, absolute reality becomes evident to him. Then such a person, he says, jnana vijnana triptatma. Jnana vijnana tripta atma means tripta atma. The person, he becomes absolutely satisfied minded. It's a literal meaning, which means this person know, becomes the one who revels in fullness. Absolute satisfaction implies reveling in fullness. நிறைவில் திளைக்கிறவன் விஞ்ஞான திருப்தியின் சொன்னா நிறைவில் திளைத்தல். So, jnana vijnana triptatma, one who revels in fullness, okay, discovers absolute satisfaction, which means there is no lacking, no missing, okay, he revels in fullness. How does he revel in fullness? See, reveling triptihi is possible only when you revel in fullness. Absolute satisfaction implies reveling in fullness, which means he has resolved his fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of limitation, sense of insecurity centered on I. See, unless and until you resolve the sense of smallness, sense of limitation, sense of inadequacy is centered on I, there is no way of reveling in fullness. Because fullness is already always there, isn't it? The problem is sitting in the form of the smallness, inadequacy, limitation centered on I. Isn't it? Therefore, here Tripta Atma means the one who has discovered the absolute satisfaction, which means revels in fullness, having resolved his smallness and limitation, centered on I in that vision of the truth. How does it happen? Here, through first knowledge, then through vijnanam. Here the word jnanam is mentioned, no? The two words are used here, jnanam and vijnanam. Jnanam itself means knowledge. Why does Krishna use these two words here, jnanam and vijnanam? The word jnanam literally means knowledge. Vijnanam means, no, special knowledge. Vijnanam also means sometimes, simply it means knowledge. And these two words, when they are used together, jnanam, vijnanam, in different contexts, they give different meanings also. But here, the word jnanam implies some knowledge. Vijnana means, again, no, complete knowledge. What does the word jnanam here means? When this person understands, okay, because of his mental purity, living a life of karma yoga, following the disciplines, strictly, you know, making properly, by proper use of this body, mind and complex, his disciplined life help him have mastery over his mind. Thereby he has mental purity, relatively he is mentally pure and relatively he is tranquil. As a tranquil, pure-minded, first, for him, the truth becomes evident as what? As an invariably present consciousness in all the variable thoughts. Okay? Then, until then, he never knew what the consciousness being part of the individual. Initially, when we start studying the Shastram, we never think of consciousness being part of us. We all know we are conscious beings, we know. I am a living being, I am a human being, I am a social being, I am a conscious being, we know. But we do not know there is something called consciousness. being part of the individual. We only think, for us, identity is only with the body, physical body, that too only with the gross body. Initially, any human being will have what now is, whenever he refers to himself, he uses the physical, single pronoun I, he means only the body. Identity is only with the body. I is identified only with the body. And now this, now he understands the mind, understands all of them. And because of his disciplined life, Shastra study helps him what? Helps him distinguish the consciousness from the thoughts. Now what is his jnanam first? I am the body, mind sense complex. I have consciousness in me, is jnanam. This itself is a leap in his knowledge. I have consciousness in me. This is jnanam. Discovering consciousness as part of the individual itself is an attainment, accomplishment. Isn't it? There is consciousness. Ennul unarvum ullathu. Edo inda unarvudaya udambu mattum kedaiyathu. Not, I am not just, you know, as an individual, I am the body, I have a mind, and I have consciousness in my mind. This is jnanam. Then, I have consciousness in me, I am the body, that understanding is shifted to, I am consciousness, I, the Self, am consciousness. என்னுள் உணர்வு இருக்கிறதுங்கிறது ஞானம். நான் நுண் உணர்வுங்கிறது விஞ்ஞானம். I am consciousness and this body, mind, sense complex is what? Incidental instruments used by me. This is vijnanam. So, nothing comes, no, everything doesn't come so soon. First of all, consciousness being the unchanging, unchangeable, ever-evident reality. And you see, consciousness is the Atma, isn't it? You see consciousness as what? Part of you, part of the body. Understanding consciousness as part of the body, the individual, is jnanam. Before that, you have no idea of consciousness. Then, what happens? No, where can I place I? Then you resolve, you discover this consciousness being the very truth of I. It's a big thing. I wish Rojaji came today. There is no I other than consciousness. Okay? In fact, I is equal to consciousness. Like wave is water, I is consciousness. This person discovers what? I am consciousness. No, this body, mind, sense complex is what? Incidentally used by me. This is vijnanam. When this understanding happens, where is his I now? If I is identified with the body, mind, sense complex, still you are subject to all forms of limitations. There is fear of death, fear of old age, fear of getting diseases, no, fear of insecurity, fear, sense of inadequacy. You can't help being insecure. Identity with the body, mind, and complex means you are insecure person. Doesn't matter however you boast yourself to be a very secure person. I tell you, irrespective of what you have, what you don't have, you are insecure. There is insecurity. There is fear of mortality, death, old age. All the time going for blood test reports. Why? Diseases, fear of becoming subject to all sufferings, physical sufferings. It's all because of I being identified with the body, mind, sense complex. There is no way of immortalizing the body. There is no medicine which can keep the body forever. You know? There is no way. Everybody's body has to one day. Which means identity, I is identified with the body. There is sense of smallness, sense of insecurity, sense of fear. Understand? Insecurity and fear are the same anyway. But here, this person, I am the body having consciousness in me. That understanding, because before that he has not even recognized consciousness. When he is Prashantaha, when he is Jitatma, when the Shastra study helped him, he could, you know, see the consciousness being ever-evident reality. Shastram shifts his attention from the thought to the ever-shining, ever-evident consciousness. Then he sees the consciousness as part of the individual. Later, further dwelling, further contemplation, helps him ascertain this fact of there is no substance other than consciousness for the substantive. I for him, he shifted from the body because body is an incidental thing used by me. Understand? Shifts the I from the body, mind, sense complex, and intellectually he resolves the I in consciousness. When he resolves the I in consciousness, what is consciousness? All pervasive, beginningless, endless, changeless, everlasting, eternal, immortal, indestructible reality. Therefore, I am consciousness means all the limitations belonging to the body, mind, and complex also what are negated on the part of the I. Therefore, he literally, that is resolving the I in consciousness alone is real jnanam. Why? Because that is where actual fundamental problem resolves. The sense of smallness, sense of, is not, oh, consciousness, I discovered consciousness, the truth of the whole. So what are you then? What does it do for your problem? Isn't it? You are working very hard to know what the truth is to resolve your problem. Your Shastram does not teach you what is the truth of the universe. We are not studying Shastram to know, oh, the truth of the whole Jagat being consciousness. No. Of course, it's something nice to know the truth of the whole Jagat being consciousness. Actually, our interest is in, by knowing the truth of the whole being consciousness, you also understand what? The truth of the whole is the truth of yourself. Thereby, you resolve your I sense there. Thereby what happened? You resolve this very basic fundamental problem of sense of limitation, sense of insecurity, sense of smallness, inadequacy centered on I. Only when you resolve that I sense, resolve the problems, go with the wrong identity, you don't attain fullness. You take ownership of fullness which is already there. Okay, that is what is reveling in, discovering fullness as one's own swarupam. Having resolved this smallness, resolved the problem of sense of smallness, inadequacy, inconscious problem, having resolved the I sense, having resolved the problems, he takes ownership of the fullness which is already there, then he revels in fullness. That is the absolute satisfaction. Understand? So, jnana, vijnana, triptatma. What is jnanam? What is vijnanam? Hope you understood. Have you? Jnana, vijnana, triptatma. Then, kutastaha. And such a person, when he revels in fullness, he is not, no situation, nothing, will afflict him. Kutastaha means one who is unafflicted, unshakable, unshaken by anything that happens in life. In fact, kuta means anvil. The anvil, the iron thing, and on the top of which everything is hit, isn't it? How many, everything which is hit on the anvil will get, it will bend and all. But this one will remain strong like this. Unshakable, unshaken by anything. He is kotastaha. He becomes a kotastaha. I think it's time, so I'll stop, I'll continue. I wanted to complete the verse, but I couldn't do that today. I'm very slow. I'm sorry.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.